שלום, אנחנו לומדים את מאמר הערבות.
Hello, we're reading from the Arvut article. This is from the writings of Baal HaSulam. We will go to item 19. Item 19. As always, you can find the Arvut article on kabbalahmedia.info and on kab.tv you can also ask questions. We'll read from item 19.
ורבי אלעזר בנו של רשבי מפליג עוד יותר בדבר
רבי אלעזר son of Rashbi clarifies the matter of Arvut even further. It's not enough for him that all of Israel be responsible for one another, but the whole world is included in the Arvut. Indeed, there is no dispute here, for everyone admits that initially it is enough to begin with one nation for the observance of the Torah, meaning for the beginning of the correction of the world, as it was impossible to begin with all the nations at once. It is, as they said, that the Creator went with the Torah to every nation and tongue, and they would not receive it. In other words, they were immersed in the filth of self-love up to their necks, some in adultery, some in robbery, and murder, and so on, until it was impossible to even conceive in those days, to even ask if they agreed to retire from self-love. Therefore, the Creator did not find a nation or a tongue qualified to receive the Torah, except for the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose ancestral merit reflected upon them. As our sages said, the fathers observed the whole Torah even before it was given. This means that because of the exaltedness of their souls, they could attain all the ways of the Creator with respect to the spirituality of the Torah, which stems from their dvekut with Him without first needing the latter of the practical part of the Torah, which they had no possibility of observing at all, as written in Matan Torah, item 16. Undoubtedly, both the physical purity and the mental exaltedness of our holy fathers greatly influenced their sons and their sons' sons, and their righteousness reflected upon that generation, whose members all assumed that sublime work, and each and every one stated clearly, "We will do and we will hear." Because of this, we were chosen, out of necessity, to be a chosen people from among all nations. Hence, only the members of the Israeli nation were admitted into the required Arvut, and not the nations of the world at all, since they did not participate in it. This is the plain reality. So how could Rabbi Elazar dispute it?
This is clear that only those who have a desire awaken, because all of creation is desire. And according to the sorting of these desires, the small light reveals a smaller layer which longs to come into contact with the light and be filled with it. Hence, the people that awaken are those who have such a tendency. And after them, more and more, and to the extent in which a certain layer can participate in this invitation, in Arvut, towards the layers of the desire that are more lower and lower and lower, by being able to awaken them, they can be the transition towards them, the pipe towards them, and in such a way they observe their role and the rest of the desires, meaning the layers of the general will to receive, meaning the rest of the nations. Altogether, there are 70 layers, which are called the 70 nations of the world. It's just like that. It's called that way. Those layers are truly like slices within the general heart, the general desire that the Creator created. And then, layer after layer, layer after layer, it awakens more and more. And we can't say that whoever is more exalted awakens first. According to the degree of purity is not necessarily connected or with the degree of coarseness. We learn that the greatest will to receive that needs to later be where the whole ending of this correction of creation awakens last. Hence, when we look at the nations that haven't yet awakened and have not yet been associated with the human society and incorporated in the participation in technologically and educationally and culturally and so on, moreover, in awakening towards the Torah and religions in general, that doesn't say a thing. Actually, when they awaken, they will invite the greatest upper light. So don't disregard anyone. As it's written, be cautious from the sons of the poor, for the Torah will emerge from them, because they don't have anything in their layers, that poverty. But from their participation in the general kli, the great light arrives. Hence, we shouldn't relate to some disregard towards any part or any nation or within one nation to parts of it, these and those, God forbid. It simply points to the extent in which we don't understand the general system. Because in the general system, from its beginning to its end, if you look at it in a corrected manner, with a corrected eye, we can see that everyone are truly equal. So, this whole thing about being chosen as a people is simply the lightest reshimo, the thinnest ones that are awakened towards contact with the Creator. And those reshimot seemingly came to start with from everyone, as from Babel, from the 70 nations of the world. They came from all directions, from all different places, and that's why it's also brought in the laws of the people of Israel, even in the corporeal laws, which are not quite respectful towards what the wisdom of Kabbalah brings forth. But one who wants to be incorporated in this nation is included and is called a Jew. There's no such thing that he was French before that. It's called from this moment on a Jew. Not from French descent, but as it is, because by replacing his direction to Yashar Kel, direct to the Creator, he's already called so. And this is why we only have a problem, and that is to awaken as fast as possible those layers in the general kli. Okay? There are no questions. Yes, Moshe.
What does it mean to carry out the Torah before it is given?
Carrying it out before it was given is that they observed it because the society wasn't varied or bound together, united and broad with a complex, developed will to receive. The period of the forefathers is prior to entering the land of Israel. You could say before the reception of the Torah. The period of the patriarchs is where Jacob dies in Egypt. That means that is the Torah that is outside the implementation of the will to receive in practice, where we connect above it. But rather, They work according to their personal purity. But this is many people. It's like Rambam writes that from Babylon, tens of thousands emerged with Abraham. This is a huge herd, but this is nevertheless the matter of their connection was in such a way that they were pure. Egoists, relative to us, they weren't egoists, but that's why they observed this connection in a manner in which the ego in them was not quite like Pharaoh who grew later. That's why the Torah wasn't needed, but rather the whole Torah was from advancement, mutual advancement towards one another, and by that they felt godliness in very pure kilim, meaning without investigating and connecting and understanding him from within such great coarseness. It was just like that. Yes.
Meaning that Torah is the instructions how to connect. So there are instructions for every layer?
For each layer.
And for us, the same method we've received a few thousand years ago is sufficient for our ego?
Why several thousands of years we're living according to the method of correction that is brought to us by Baal HaSulam and Rabash. Rabash especially. Look at what he writes. All of his articles are Torah, the Torah of connection between us and the Creator. And he didn't write like that for his generation. They weren't such big kelim, crude ones, even 100 or 200 years ago. Only from the times of the Ari onwards, the matter of needing to truly execute connections to the deepest possible way, that's when it started. You draw to the reforming light and connect to it as much as possible. Whoever connects, connects. It wasn't so. It was open to everyone, the Torah of Israel. We saw this from the Greek, from everyone. As they came and studied, and from this we have all of these faiths, etc. But this wasn't felt in the nations of the world and in general as the method of revelation of godliness. We should say it that way. Meaning to reveal godliness, you need aviut, you need coarseness, which didn't yet develop.
Yeah, but what components are in the Torah that we had there and now? In the forefathers and now, what's the innovation in the instruction?
And the will to receive only.
Yeah, but the Torah itself, is there anything new? It's different for the... or.
Yes, of course, that same Torah which operates each time, and otherwise in each personal individual, starting with every personal individual desire, which is the source. The Torah is the means for the revelation of the Creator.
Light, yeah? Torah means light, or a method. Or.
We usually say about it that it's a method. The upper light, you can call it also Asnaran Chai, as Torah altogether in general. But the main essence of the Torah, we talk about the method of the correction of the will to receive, so that it will be ready to receive the revelation of godliness which is revealed in Naran Chai.
So there's a difference in the light and the method?
There's a difference, of course. The Torah is called instruction, it's light, it's the method of education, it's the method of connection by which the Creator is revealed as filling the internality of the Torah?
What's difference about the method that existed then and now?
It depends on which wilt receive it's used with, in depth, in height, in power, in intensity. You don't need the great upper light in order to correct and connect vessels that are just a little broken. That from Adam HaRishon and the shattering of the system of the general system of Adam HaRishon that the Creator created, where the will to receive was revealed in order to receive. So an intermixture occurred there, and this intermingling of all the parts, and then there is a sorting of these parts by the general light, and those parts start to enter into a certain filtering and sorting, and then the parts each time are revealed as different, other, through the clashing, through the wars, through the problems. The first of them was Babylon, the Tower of Babel, where the will to receive was revealed as not agreeing, not capable, and so on, from the shattering of the sin of the tree of knowledge. For the first time, this shattering was revealed, but already in a sordid manner, a sordid shattering, where they already arranged, after the sin of the tree of knowledge, those parts are moving and they're sitting and falling into place, and then there's a certain order between them. This one rises and that one descends, and this one rises and that one descends, until they stabilize. And then you have a certain mass that is arranged according to the layers of the desire in order to receive. And then those desires begin to, by the reforming light that each time influences them, those desires begin to awaken. To awaken for, against, but the light is bestowing upon them. And for the first time that the light reveals in them the clashes is in the Tower of Babel.
So if I understand, it's the same light, but because the will to receive changes in each and every generation, it works differently.
Yes.
Same light.
Also, the will to receive is the same will to receive. It's only revealed in layers that are lower.
So it's all with respect to man's feeling.
Yes, of course.
So externally, we see that what's the method? The method is all kinds of exercises, activities as well.
Accordingly, we need to write.
So it looks like in the past, in the forefathers, there was nothing. They needed to do nothing externally. Then they needed to do things externally. There was a temple, no temple, tens, no tens, all those things.
Those are signs. You're saying, oh, the holy temple, it's something there. If you were to see this structure, look at what Ramchal writes. It's not some huge building or something. It's a sign. It's a symbol. If you're talking about what is tangibilized or materialized in this world and what's built, it's a sign. But it's a sign, like the table that the ten is sitting at right now. So it's a sign that they're sitting around a round table, uniting in a circle. But are they really in a circle between them? No. Are they really uniting? Not yet. That's why everything that is spoken of in this world is all kind of a materialization, an example, a demonstration, I would say.
I'm kind of more referring to how in the 16th century there was no Torah, studying the Torah, and then they added that.
That's after they returned from Babel.
So this is why I'm referring to the change in the method. The whole people started studying.
Because they wanted to renew the matter like it was before. Like now we're saying that they came from the exile. They didn't go to the exile after receiving the Torah. But for the first time, to Babel. This is the 6th century before the Common Era, and they returned, and then they defined orders of study from Dan to Beersheba. They defined study of Torah for everyone. And then they began to go out also. They also published books. We don't know them all. Many of them disappeared, were burnt. That's it.
So we can call that change of the method, in the method, or like...
I don't think that that's a change of the method. It's the same method that's aimed towards the connection with the Creator, out of the connection between the creatures. According to the rule of Israel, the light and the Creator are one. That's all what they received in the giving of the Torah. And that's what was given to them as... for them to define being above their ego and rising above the connection in the connection between them. This is, they didn't renew anything here. Nothing, there's nothing to renew here. All the innovations come from the patriarchs to Moses. Moses innovated it because he already brought them to a new peak, a new apex, thanks to Pharaoh, which has been revealed, which is the general ego that the Creator created. Moses brought them to the point of connection with the Creator above the ego, above their ego. And then we are constantly working above this ego and trying to each time define a certain connection with the Creator on the peak of that mountain of Sinai. This is why the whole Torah comes from Moses and has no change in it. We don't need any changes. The change in the Torah is in the light that is revealed to each and every one and to everyone in all kinds of, in accordance with the connection on the different layers that there are. But the method itself, it's like you would say now to, I don't know, to, do you need restriction? Yes, the first restriction. Do you need masach? Yes. Zivug avaka? Yes. And so on. All of that, of course, yes. That can't change. But after they returned from exile of Nebuchadnezzar, what was added is the study of Torah in the kelim that return and rise above exile. It's not that they received a new desire that is different than Egypt. This exile disclosed to them where they are and that they need to rise. That's why there's the matter of Purim there. But that was in practice, in potential. In practice, it can only be in the end of correction. Well, there are many things here.
We're talking about our Arvut, where 600,000 loyal lovers unanimously agreed and so on. And what's happening now is that, a large portion of the public, of the nation, you know, is even against the country, doesn't care about the safety, willing to drown in a sea of our neighbors. When Trump signs this resolution against anti-Semitism, and a big portion of the Jews are against it there. How does that lead us to Arvut?
It'll be even worse. It'll be much worse. The true anti-Semites are the Jews. Because in them, that point of connection with the Creator is where it is now in concealment. So they feel those two forces within them, and that's why they resist it. You have no other nation that A member of that nation wants to run away from his nation. There's no such thing in any country, in any nation, because it's inside the will to receive. I have the will to receive, and I'm in the will to receive, my will to receive, and I feel that I belong to my nation, and that's it. I don't have any contradiction here. There is no contradiction. A Jew is one who is constantly in contradiction. He doesn't agree with himself. What is not understood here? There's the will to receive, this big will to receive, and there's the point in the heart. Not in the center. Point in the heart. And it gives this point in the heart and the will to receive and the will to receive itself. This is its point of the will to receive. It gives me a feeling of resistance, of clash, that I don't agree with myself. I don't want. I'm against this point. That's the I, ani, me. And this is the godly part from above. And that's why I can't do anything with it. That's why Jews are so broken internally. And everyone wants to run away from their nation. Let me hide in some nation. Let me leave my eye. And it's no wonder that to the extent in which the will to receive grows more, there are more people, and in each of them, even more, this pressure, this drive to leave his nationality. It's clear. Nature is that way. That's why you don't need to ask anyone. Out of us learning, it's like a doctor. Do you ask a sick person what's happening in your blood or what factors are okay or not? You pull a little blood from him and check and you see. That's how we are here. We understand what's happening in the nation of Israel. That's why this hatred, this division, all these things exist, and you can't do corporeally, you can't do anything with it. Because the upper light is influencing us, it's bestowing upon us, like this. It bestows upon us. Let's say this is O Mekif, the general surrounding light. And against its bestowal, you can't do anything. It defines time for you. This is according to time. It works. And then your will to receive against that grows more and more and more, and then the desire grows more. And we're not going to write it like this, we'll just write desire. The desire grows. It grows, and from that you have, you see all the phenomena in the people of Israel, specifically when they're together, specifically when they feel as together, as a nation, as dependent on one another, and so on and so forth. So to build the state of Israel under such conditions, like they did, this was after the Holocaust, after all the problems, of that was happening in all the different countries, the pogroms and all that, that's okay. But to build it as running away from the bad, it's okay. Then we'll organize kibbutz and communes and different places where we will give ourselves the ability to exist. But when we passed that necessity and began to see, where am I? Oh boy, I'm amongst the Jews? That I can't tolerate. I cannot stand it. That's what happens. And that's understood? Until you sort the correct attitude between the big will to receive, the big desire that's growing, and the point in the heart, you can't do a thing. Okay?
So that's the true desire that we want to feel from the nation. That's the true desire, to just assimilate in everyone else, to disappear, to dissolve.
Yes, every Jew doesn't know that, but that's what he has. I want to run away from my nationality. Meaning, if the will to receive is greater than the point in the heart, then he wants to take the point in the heart and to stomp it down, to truly delete it, to devour it and dissipate it. That's what we're trying to do. Meaning we're using the point in the heart for the benefit of the will to receive as much as possible. For the time being.
Yeah, but it's very small. It doesn't grow. How from all these little points there will be 600,000 people?
The point in the heart cannot grow. It's a godly part from above. It's a part of the Or Chozer that we had in the system of Adam HaRishon, and it cannot grow. Meaning you, by it, and by the study, and by the group, the ten, and so on, you bestow specifically upon it, you bring influence upon it. If you want, then you bring upon it bestowal in the form of bringing it the reforming light. Surrounding light. Omekif. Here it is the general surrounding light. And here it's Omekif, how should we call it? Omekif, surrounding light for the servant of the Creator.
So.
That's it.
So how do 600,000 points in the hearts become a nation opposite this great will to receive that just wants to eliminate the points in the hearts?
No, the moment these points in the hearts understand that they need to connect between them, they feel themselves being connected to the upper light. You need to be in a 10. A siliya, 10. If you have a 10, then from it, you bestow in return to the upper light. And you decide. Then from it, you have Or Chozer, reflecting light. And in the Or Chozer, you give it all back to the Creator and start deciding.
How do we as a 10?
You, if you'll be a 10, then you'll do this. That's what Rabash writes about. Only from connection.
So it's only from the connection between us we can project to all the nation this desire to be in our vut?
First to ourselves. First to ourselves, because if there is a 10 here, then you already have inside the will to receive the Creator, the upper force, the bestowing force, something, if there is a ten. And if there are several tens and they connect, then we already have the will to receive itself begins to be graduated, formatted, I would say. It takes on the format of in order to bestow, of the force of bestowal, the restriction, mutual bestowal, a tendency for connection. It starts to be something not of this world. And then we feel, because this will to receive is the whole world. It's this world. This world. And then you start to feel differences, changes. You start to feel changes. This is changing and that is changing. First of all, the general climate, still vegetative and animate, that calms down. There's those hurricanes or the fires and the climate, the heat and the cold start becoming balanced, and then all kinds of other forms of life that disappeared from existence in our world in the last 100 years, let's say, begin to return. You remember that they still, that we had, they're already no longer, they return. You can be certain that, let's say, there is nothing in our world today. I don't know if there's some, I don't know, they're saying that there is none. And all of a sudden you'll discover that there is, that they come, that they arrive again, that they're there again. Where were they? Where did they live? They really weren't there. Because our ego depicts them to us in the form that that it was. They return to that same form that was once, but once it was corrected from above. Now we went through corruption, we corrected, and returned to the previous state. And then, still vegetative and animal return, and then you slowly, slowly come to the correction of man. We will see changes, first of all, in climate and all those things from the lower degrees. And all of this in accordance to this form. Yes?
So Arvut in R10 will invite the Arvut in the whole...
Yes.
Desire. So our whole Congress should be about Arvut, basically.
Well, Arvut is such a word that maybe it's not worthwhile to call it that way, but yes.
So how can you call what this thing we need to produce? If not Arvut, then what is it?
I wrote to you yesterday, do they know the name of the convention? What did I write?
You wrote that the Aravak, the Desert Congress, is Bnei Baruch 110, and the Big Congress is the whole world is a single 10. Is that correct? That's what you were asking about now?
Yes, it's not worthwhile to use the word Bnei Baruch, but maybe we are 110, and that's in the desert, and in the big one, the big convention, it's the whole world is 110. Yeah, something like that. Good. Yes, Asaf.
About this, I wanted to say, Rav, I read from Josephus' texts, and we talked about it a few texts, and I was amazed to see that he himself says the Jews were in such hatred and division that they burned each other's food reserves. They literally were consuming each other from within, and that caused the ruin of the temple.
And isn't it the same thing with Masada? The exact same thing?
Yeah, and history repeats itself. And
you don't require external haters. In no nation does such a thing exist.
It's quite fascinating to see that we're at a very, very interesting crossroads. And I'm very happy, Rav, to see that there's all that's appearing on the outside, on the one hand, and on the other hand, the possibility to make this huge correction in this big Congress. And for instance, today we have a first rehearsal of the Congress band. And so think about us, and I know a lot of people are engaged in the Congress, Amit I see here, and Roy Meron, etc., and they're beginning to feel this kind of livelihood from it. So first of all, I'm calling on everyone to start waking up and engaging in the content, in the Congress content. It's awakening.
Are we just taking playbacks to the desert, or also something, instruments?
Last time we did a cappella, but Danny will sing. The plan is just to do a cappella where we sing in a circle and then everyone joins us.
Oh, okay, because I thought if it would be an electric outlet there, then we'll sing. That's very well. I am drawing to myself all kinds of such states, a little action. Okay. Well,
the 10 tribes that have been lost after the ruin of the first temple, how are they able to assimilate in all the rest of the people?
Leave it, it's okay, it's clear to me. If it comes from the heavens that way, then it happens that way. There's no such thing. It's not like one person today is looking that he's given in a possibility to search on his own, so that in his desire, his personal desire, it will be revealed what he wants. They did it according to a command from above.
We awaken the layers of the 70 nations, or they awaken according to instruction from above?
It all goes in accordance with time and command from above, but it depends on the readiness that we are from below. There's Beito and Nachishanaf in due time and in haste, constantly in a certain ratio between them all the time.
We have no action of awakening the nations of the world. Israel don't awaken the nations of the world, they awaken by themselves.
Certainly it depends on us. How do you not understand? If we were given the possibility to be an active component in the general system, then certainly the awakening of each and every individual in reality depends on the awakening and the execution of ours. That's why they are with us in a clash and in a claim that we are stopping the advancement towards good. That's the reason for anti-Semitism. That we, according to the plan of creation, need to bring the whole of creation to the good, and we're either detaining or causing all of creation to advance towards bad. There wasn't such great anti-Semitism. It existed throughout all the generations, by the way. From the reception of the Torah you received, and you could have already begun to stabilize the connection between everyone already. It came, that's called Mount Sinai, where the hatred came down to the nations of the world. Because Israel, who received the method, ready by operating between themselves alone, by that they begin to be a component that changes to the good or to the bad in the whole general system. And if they don't change for the good, then they cause bad for everyone. When? They come to the ruin of the first temple. Already after that, you have wars between them, and wars that they come to them, and that's how it is until they are conquered and brought to Babel again, and in Babylon they renew. We'll learn at some point why it's returning to Babylon. They return to here, and it's constantly wars. And accordingly, the constant awakening of antisemitism is happening. This, by a war between the Jews coming, and that it's like an angel comes and stabs his pole into Rome, and Rome awakens and starts. There are many stories like that.
I'm asking about a phenomenon I didn't know. 2 days ago, there was an anti-Semitic event in New York.
In New Jersey, yes.
In Jersey, right. So at first they said it's not anti-Semitic. Afterwards, it turned out as anti-Semitic, clearly.
It can't be, what, a quarrel between the families?
They thought it's a drug
case. No.
Anyway, that's not the point. The point is that it turns out there are Hebrew Jews, black Jews, who see themselves as ancient, authentic Jews.
Yes, there's such a organization or something that's like that.
Anyway, my question is that Israel or nations of the world?
I don't know. I don't know them, and I don't feel like investigating or researching or learning them. I don't know. There are many such groups. Like in Russia, there was a certain group there. There are many Russian groups that in Russia itself that said, we are Jews, they're also in Israel. Sabotniki, yes. They're Sabbaths. They call themselves like the people of the Sabbath. Yeah. In Russia, there were many of them. I met them here, and I met them here, there. It's an interesting thing. Very simple, to the point, very observant, and it's very interesting to see such groups of the nations of the world which take on Judaism as it is and like straightforward.
So I didn't understand. It's groups of the nations of the world or part of Israel?
Look, in humanity you have all kinds of methods and connections and warps of different things. I don't get into that. I was always cautious from entering into such thing. For what? If you have a method and the wisdom of Kabbalah which heals the will to receive, and it's the only medicine because it brings the reforming light through connection, then that's enough.
Why am I asking? Because according to this explanation, I would see how you analyze this event as Jews or...
I don't know. Maybe they feel themselves that way, and maybe they feel themselves in hatred towards all the modern Jews. But I am not saying that it's right. I'm just saying theoretically that all the modern Jews in their eyes are true criminals, and that there's no room or right to exist. Who knows what their Torah is? If they came to kill, it's already not a Torah. Because there's no such thing of killing in the Torah. There simply isn't. You have to correct. And if they come to kill, then it's for sure that they're not observing the Torah. But in some deviant way that they're doing it, some warped manner of it. What's with them? Oh, wonderful. Yes, Shamir. Yesterday you weren't here.
I was in Tel Aviv group.
Doesn't matter. In the Tel Aviv group.
Yeah, Rav, I have two questions. For one, if you see in the world, you go
Yes.
From this desire to be chosen one.
Wait, I didn't understand. The fact that I go to each and everyone, or they're to Guru Lightman or Guru, and they all say that the righteousness is with them, justification is with them, that I was also in Bnei Brak. You come to a certain Rebbe and you say, the righteousness is with me. You want Torah? it's with us. I remember I came to Avraham Ashkenazi. He learned a little with Bala Sulam, but with this big pride, he said, I'm the pious of the Sloni. For us, the Sabbath and love of friends and prayer. Three things we have. Whoever says we have it, and it's already, so that's why when someone says to me, I have, come to me, I never invite. You can explain, you can, to disseminate, yes, but to draw in, no.
What a person wants to attend, because every person has a desire. It's not, also not only in communities, but also every person has a desire to be a chosen one. So what is the ma matara shela matzav kaze?
So what's the goal of this state?
What's the purpose of all of this? That a person is going to look for a place? I'm not searching that I'm the chosen one. I'm searching how to realize myself in what exactly is my role that I'm in this world. That's the point in the heart. It demands the highest possible realization, and even above that. But the highest implementation, the highest level of implementation is to come to godliness, which is the highest possible level of execution, where the will to I have a will to receive, for me to express it in a degree that's called God, Elohim, then I truly come to the perfect implementation of myself. That is the matter. What do I care through who I get there, by the way? It could be this guru or that guru or like this or like that. I'm not taking anything to start with as being right or that's what I belong to and that's it. No. Let him check. Let him check himself. And we can see that in our care that we were given from above, we are constantly in doubts and in convincing ourselves right or wrong, etc.
Second question, Rav. We're saying that the Jews hate each other, there's hatred among Jews.
It's true.
Correct, because each and every one, like I drew here, each of them is connected with two contradictive forces. And here, in him, the nations hates the Jew, and the Jew hates the nations. Those two desires are inside in that clash. He's constantly in that split. By being in that split, he can merit many corporeal things because he can talk as if he has two brains. If I do this or if I do that. If I do this or that. Look at at Oren. Oren's an example for us. He has a brain that's just inside like that. No, but each and every one. And that's why they're successful. Because you can see everything from its opposite. But that's intellectually, but emotionally this creates problems where each of us is he's burning all the time and doesn't know what to do with himself.
But if we go to Middle East, we see people killing each other, so they have bigger hatred.
No, in other nations, it's just simple hatred. It's like one-directional hatred. In a Jew, it's not. A Jew, first of all, hates the godly part from above that's in him, and he doesn't know what to do with it. And that's why he's not satisfied ever. He's not looking. He thinks that by all kinds of corporeal, cultural, humane achievements, he'll be able to calm himself down. And it doesn't work out. So what a Jew does in the world, well, you see, zero, like 0.0-something% in the whole world of what they're doing. And imagine to yourself that all of humanity will receive the point in the heart and will be like the 10 billion Jews all together. They will be. 10 billion Jews. What is that? That's why only to the degree of correction that they receive, they will begin to reveal the point in the heart that's there. From the shattering, it's in each and every one. But there's Rosh, Toch Sof in this Partsuf, and we need to awaken and to care for. In short, gradually. But this will be something that will be unbelievable if everyone will be like that. Where would you run to? This is, by the way, they're running to diaspora to feel themselves a little bit in a form of, it's really like on vacation. It's like something that's tepid. It's not hot or cold. Here it's pressuring each and everyone. You go out into the street, you feel like everyone's pressing you, even though there's a distance between people. Whereas overseas, it's like you're walking in the desert. You go for a walk in New York, it's like that.
In Bombay, there's also a lot of mess there, but in Israel, it's...
When I was in there, I was resting.
But the avyut is not felt. And
because you don't feel the avyut, that's why. There's no less pressure than what I felt in India. There's truly no pressure. Like you drive around in that little rickshaw, and it's like you're in the desert. And there's millions besides you. It's a wonder.
Well, Rav, just wanted to say that yesterday I was in the Tel Aviv group and they had their first lesson from the center, from the new center, and there was such a great feeling and how much they worked together in that group. And L'chaim.
L'chaim to Tel Aviv. Well, we have Chedera. Yes. We can't hear. We don't hear. Okay. They'll come back later. So except for Chedera, we have Moscow.
У нас два вопроса.
Да.
У нас есть желания, которые пробуждаются под воздействием
окружения. We have two questions. We have desires that awaken as a result of the influence of the environment.
Например, новый товарищ приходит в десятку.
They awaken all sorts of emotions, or let's say there's a new friend who comes to the ten, and then there's deeper, more important desires. Now, as a result of what should we work in the 10 so that from deeper inner desires we can move into more important desires?
A person needs... Look, when I started to study the wisdom of Kabbalah, I was in the military. In reserve. In my business. I was confused and intermixed into all kinds of problems with the bosses and the owners. On the other hand, I would study. We'd be like in the group, but I would come and study. But also, there was nevertheless a question of to what extent I am in an environment that brings forth development or not. This is why we need to try within, just like we draw it in this picture here. We need to somehow depict my world as there are foreign forces, and I don't want to be influenced by them, but only in the matters of work. Let's say, let's put it this way, you can really feel it in a woman who has a baby at home, and she has to work. There are such, sadly, many women who must work. But truly, with her heart, she is at home with the baby. And she is constantly just thinking about him. And even though she's talking and doing something, and she's doing shopping and entering in all the different places and goes, but the main thing for her is to constantly know what's happening with her baby, her beloved baby. That's how we need to be towards the ten. I even have a family and a woman and children and work. But I, from the family and the work, take an additional thing that is precious for me in my life, which is the group. Because through it, in it, I reveal the Creator. The group is the opening to the upper world. In it, I discover the upper world. In it, I discover the Creator. And that's why this is more important to me than anything. Because this is the eternal world relative to the imaginary world. I don't disparage, I'm not allowed to disregard this world. But you can't even compare. I need to constantly be concerned with what's happening to me with my spiritual world, meaning the ten and the Creator inside of it. That's it. And then all the time, as much as possible more. You can go out and have fun, and you can do all kinds of things, business, whatever. But nevertheless, you should have a place in your head, just like that woman towards her baby, where you are connected to your ten, where you are, you're in your heart, you're there. Okay? Good. I want to, just because it's a more general lesson than usual, to remind you that the participation in our preparation for the convention, and also our participation in all the, our events that are happening now, specifically in the near weeks, you'll hear this, whoever didn't hear, our participation together in all the events that we are deciding upon are very much worthwhile, because through this specifically, we will get closer, we will connect, we will discover the point of connection, and through it begin to feel the upper force, and in such a way, through it, through this connection, we will enter the upper world. Well, we will give room for Be'er Sheva.
Good morning, Rav, dear friends, World Kli and Global 10. I always had the feeling that the Creator that we need to build is actually two forces. We can build him as positive or negative based on our connection. And on the other hand, there's a sense of love that is felt towards us all the time. Is it coming from the Creator or the what we need to build?
What's the difference between Atzmuto and the Creator that we need to reveal? Whether are there two?
No, because the Creator is two opposites that are in him, and we can basically build him like this or like that. I just see in other people they have positivity, and they are abundant with love, even if they don't study with us. And we have to build that image. It's coming from a different direction.
I don't know what you're saying. I'm talking about what we need. Ask about that. All the rest, I don't know. What's with them, and what's the difference between this and that? We need to build a ten, our individual tens, which we will build in the desert. Again, we will understand what a ten is, the center of the little ten, and what is the global ten? With its center in it, which is global, we will try to attain and feel in our big convention. Those two conventions are truly as one convention, but they're going to be occurring in such a way. That's hopefully, we'll see it so. And meanwhile, we have several actions that we need to truly participate in, also as corporeal advancement, as building the, how should we say, as building our ten. It needs to really benefit us. If you will hear what I'm saying, also in the in this hint here, we will advance and you will merit. And if not, make your calculations. And with that, what? An announcement, yes? Say announcement.
Yeah, so with regards to the preparation for the Congress, a workshop lineup was sent to all the tens in the world. CLI, for today, for 10 meetings, the goal is to awaken us as the world CLI and as tens to be more active in preparation for the Congress. So we're going to have the same workshop for all the tens today. And yes, tomorrow there will be a place to share our impressions about this activity.
Very well. And with that, Oren,
you are invited to watch the noon lesson at 1 p.m. Israel time live with Rav Lightman. Thanks to the TV viewers. Have a good day. And a special meeting between Rav Lightman and the World CLI. This is on Sunday, 5 p.m. Israel time. Sunday, 5 p.m. Israel time live. And the Kabbalah La'am campus courses are starting. New courses are starting. Introductory lectures are taking place. Various cities in Israel. Call 1-700-509-209 for details or go to kab.co.il for details. Let's conclude. Good day. Great night.
גדול קורא אני בקול תפילת הלב אל המרום עד ינוסו הצללים מבין הערפילים עם שחר הקיץ מהחלום את החי מבקש אני הם חיי הם נשמתי בלעדם אני לא קיים את החי מבקש אני הם נשמעתי בלעדם אני לא קיים עמוק בתוך הלב את החי סוחב ובתוכי בוער גלי עבר
עבדו עקבות אבל רוחות טובות יובילו אל ים האהבה
את החי מבקש אני הם חיי
הם נשמתי בלעדם אני לא קיים את החי מבקש